Blog Talk Radio.
Oakley of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is TS Radio. Our show tonight is abolishing probate, which if that doesn't happen soon, I don't know what's going to happen to all of us. Joining me, co-hosting, is Luann Fleming. Say hello, Luann.
Hello.
And Robin Austin.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. And hopefully Mighty Mouse will show up this evening. And Robin
here
and Luann.
I am to save the
day. That usually don't come on till
later. Hi, Mighty Mouse.
Wow. Hi.
Came right.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Robin
I'm
and Luann.
To go. Let's go.
You're rare.
Let's fight Bruce Wayne.
We're going to have to wrap your cape around your head. Anyway. For those of you who might not be familiar, and I doubt there's many of you who are not familiar with, but Robin and Luann host their own show, The Hidden Truth Revealed, also on Blog Talk, and usually airing on Wednesday night, isn't it? Here on Wednesday night?
Yeah.
Cause I, yeah. Okay. Yep. So, and they cover a lot of this also, which is, and they've already interviewed Yolanda, but this is such a terrible story that we thought we would touch on it again. I wanted to give everybody, before we get rolling here, a heads up here in Minnesota. As a result, as many of you know, here last month we had an explosion in the nursing home scandal, finding out that 26,000 complaints against nursing homes had gone uninvestigated and nothing done about it. And like many states, we have a law that even if your family on your behalf or anyone on your behalf is suing over neglect, abuse, or other wrongdoing associated with a person in a nursing home or who has been guardianized, whatever, if they die during the process, the court case dies also. Regardless of what was done to them, how many crimes were committed, no matter what happens, they play beat the clock. And the people that you are coming against will keep filing motion after motion after motion, asking for extensions, you know, delays, to have it reconvened at a later time. And like I say, they're playing beat the clock. Eventually the person passes away, boom, the case magically disappears. Nobody's held accountable. With the movement of hospice and hospitals now, I want to know, somebody please answer for me, when it became legally possible or necessary for hospitals to have on-staff guardians. For what purpose?
Well,
and this is all across
the country. Well, we all know the purpose of
that. Well,
yes. The purpose. Well,
yes.
You know, it's pretty evident.
But
keep the money in the hospital is the purpose.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And keep control of that insurance money, Medicare, Medicaid. Now, I'm in the process, of course, of writing an open letter to Mr. Jeff Sessions. And one of the things that I am going to rework and write back into there is the fact that, I had a brain fart there. Oh, that Medicare gets built out of 30 to 60 billion. Say what?
Something about a fact you were going to tell Jeff Sessions.
Yes, yes. That Medicare gets bilked out of $30 to $60 billion a year by the medical industry. It isn't the claimants. People seem to be operating under the misconception that people on Medicare, number one, get it free. They do not. After paying into it for a lifetime, they have to pay a premium every month. The minimum is about $233 a month, but it usually runs $500, $600, $700 a month to pay for an insurance that you've been investing in for your working life. Okay. There. Oh, good Lord. This makes me so mad. Then there's the copay to the doctors, the copay for prescriptions, the prescriptions they don't cover, services they don't cover, but your doctor prescribed it, so you have to do it and you have to pay for it. Okay? If you don't, your doctor will file against you a failure to comply complaint, and they can get your benefits jerked and you get your insurance taken from you. You get thrown off Medicare and you lose your Social Security for refusal or failure to comply. There's all kinds of things that go on with this. But anyway, we're going to be talking about all of this in depth in a show here very soon. After this meeting I had with elder people here in Minnesota last month, where they talked about being terrified of their doctors, being mocked by them, derided, threatened, and then being even more afraid of going into the hospital for fear they would never come home again. And as I've told you, the first thing that happens when you're admitted, whether you know it or not, an asset search is done on you. Their excuse is, well, we need to see if you can pay for the bill. Well, I just handed you 6 different insurance cards. What do you think? You think I can pay for it? And to close off that part of the conversation, at a doctor's visit here just in the last couple of days due to a little escapade I had, the doctor said to me, well, I see you're still smoking. And I said, yeah, and I see you're still handing out medications and vaccines that kill people. You see how that works? And so they're not happy with me. I don't know why. But it just depends on who's doing it. That's all it gets down to. But our guest tonight is Yolanda Bastic. And like I say, this is a really sordid story that's taking place out in Lake County, Ohio, and by a family that immigrated here from communist Yugoslavia. And Yolanda, thank you for coming on the show this evening. I do appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
You bet. And Luann, Robin, I told you at any point here, jump in here. You know more about this than I do.
Well, yes,
yeah,
you do.
So, Yolanda, for those that might not be familiar with your story, will you give us a little bit of background on it?
Yes. My family came to this country from communist Yugoslavia. My father wanted to make a better life for his 3 daughters. We all worked. We saved. My father was able to acquire some properties. He built a home for my mother, which she always dreamed of. Unfortunately, she passed away just a few years after the home was done. And my father was never the same after that. And in 2013, he passed away. And that's when our nightmare begins in probate. We always thought that everything would get passed over to us, but it didn't. The court, a little bit of conflict between me and my one sister, appointed this administrator who was supposed to talk to us and seek our input and work with us. Well, from the very beginning, he didn't want to talk to us, and his only mission was to make sure that we didn't got nothing at all from our parents.
Right.
All the hard work, nothing.
Yeah. And that, mm-hmm. that thing is supposed to have been communicating with you. That's what angers me, Yolanda, is this sounds all really good if you're out here in the public and you saw this. You know, you became privy to it, and you saw the court order on this, you'd think, well, say that, you know, this is a good deal. You know, this way everybody's interests get served, and they're negotiating, but that isn't what happens at all, is it?
No, it's not. No.
Yeah.
The administrator who is a friend of the judge's. You know, he contributes to his campaign. I scratch your back, you scratch my back. No matter what he does and you complain to the judge, he's always doing a good job.
Oh. Who's the judge, Yolanda?
The judge is Mark Bartola.
Mark Bartola, okay. And I know how to spell that. And who is this person who's...
Administrator? It's
yeah.
Russell Maraglio.
Maraglio, okay. All right. And Yolanda, do you have any idea at all how many supposed wards or clients this person has?
Well, I know that there was a article written in the paper in 2012 that
mm-hmm.
said he had over 200 guardianships at one time.
Oh my
and
God!
I've done some of my own research, and I found out that he's had between estates and guardianships close to 1,000 since he started working for this court.
Okay. Holy cow. 1,000.
Yeah.
Now, doesn't this ring like Charmin Worley up there in Detroit and that predator running up there, 1,700 clients, wards?
Right, public administrator out here in Colorado has 400, so I know how it feels.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And they did an expose about him in 2012, and he did not care about his wards at all. There was one man who died, and he was still paying stuff, even though the man was dead for 2 months. He didn't even know.
Yeah. Yolanda, we had a case out when I first started in all this, which has been 8 years ago. There was a case out in Washington State, Dorothy Griega. She had been guardianized in, I believe it was in Wells Fargo. She had $23 million in charitable trust accounts. They started immediately, they went to Bank of America, started funneling money over there under phony charity case names, fake tax ID numbers, and they were funneling her money. She had been dead 7 years, and they were still siphoning the money out of one bank over to the other bank. This goes on all the time, this extension beyond death, and of course all the audits that were ever provided when they were forced to provide them all ended with the phrase to benefit the ward. Now I don't know what you can do for a dead person, but apparently there's some magic things going on here I don't know anything about. What was the public's response to this expose on this man?
Nothing. There was nothing. He was able to continue practicing. This is his court. He started as a law clerk, then went up to a magistrate, and always with the probate court.
Then he
hooked up with a law firm, Reminger and Reminger, and now they pretty much control this whole Lake County probate court.
I see. Chimney Christmas. Okay, now have you gone to on this? You know, like in your legislators, you know, the governor, anybody? Have you spoken with anybody about this?
I have tried everybody,
and they won't talk
from
to
the
you.
Governor,
will they?
The governor doesn't respond to me. The attorney general says he doesn't get involved in legal issues. My representative, Mr. Joyce, told me that he does not get involved in ongoing legal battles. I talked to Senator Sherrod Brown, who sent me a lovely letter but said he can't get involved in legal issues.
Oh, really?
So I've got, and my favorite was the one from the Department of Justice that told me that I was unhappy with the way the administrator was doing his job, but that's nothing that they can get involved in.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
This is why,
of course.
Yep. Yep, this is why I'm writing.
I've heard this 100 times out here in Colorado, too.
Yep, and we get the same thing here. This is when, and not to go off the track too far here, but S-178, everybody was raving about this piece of crap bill. Did nothing but enforce, enlarge, and fund the very agencies and added mountain more that we have been fighting in this. I'm in the process of writing an open letter to Mr. Sessions about this. And Yolanda, this is the case across the country. We have, like you talked about, your state's attorney general. One of the things I have tried to get across to people is that the attorney general, whether it's federal or state, is not there for your benefit. They are there to protect the state from you. In Jeff Sessions' case, the DOJ is there to protect the federal complex from the public. Okay, the only time they will act is if the federal complex in one of its agencies or levels has suffered injury. One of the things I pointed out was, having called there myself a time or two, is that you hear these things about, well, I've never heard such a thing before. Well, it must have been an isolated incident. Are you sure that's what happened? Mm-hmm. Well, we're not the right people to go to. Well, who is? Yeah. Well, you might try your state legislator. I already went there. Well, what did they say? They said they can't get involved, and you can't get involved, and the governor can't get involved, and nobody, APS can't get involved, because usually they're the lead perpetrator in these things, and they have absolutely no interest in protecting anyone. It should be the self-protection agency, because basically all they are is they are the estate hunters. This is all they're like a headhunter for a corporation, you know, that goes out and looks for talent. These people go out and look for assets. When APS shows up, somebody has got an eyeball on your bank account, your property, whatever. And they are basically the enforcement arm that runs out. They're like the Gestapo. And but as someone who's going through this and dealing with it firsthand, what were your thoughts when you contacted all of these people about what is happening to your father, what is happening to your family, the loss of the estate and your inheritance? This should have been your inheritance. This was something your father built with his children so that you would have a future. What was there? Did anybody show any remorse, give you any direction of anything positive anywhere you could go?
No. I never got any ounce of hope or anything from anybody. And if they all tell you, well, get an attorney. Well,
yeah.
There's no attorney who's going to go against the system and risk his career.
And that's what they do,
so what
Yolanda.
Do you do?
And you get an attorney who will actually try to defend and represent you. They will investigate them. They will sanction, at the very least, and disbar them for daring to stop the money train. This is why you can't get an attorney. And, and this all started, you said, when you had a disagreement with the sister?
Yes.
Okay. Now, have you resolved that?
Oh, yes. Oh, we resolved it. Like, they kind of do it to you on purpose. They want the bickering to continue so that they can do whatever they have to do, and you're not paying attention. Well, that didn't happen, because right after he got appointed, we all came together and we told the court, you know, we don't have a use for him. We're fine. We can take care of this ourselves.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can't get rid of him.
No.
No matter what you prove to the court, no matter what you show that he's done, forget it. You don't even get your day in court.
Right.
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 Yep. You, yeah. And I, go ahead.
Oh, I just get so mad every time I hear this. I just,
yeah,
it's so.
Yeah, the family can say, look, we got this now. We've got this all worked out. There's no more problems in our family, and we've worked everything out. You can just give us our money back. All day long, over and over. It'll never, ever, ever happen. Once you are in that courtroom, once you have hired a lawyer or there are lawyers fighting over stuff in the courtroom, your money isn't yours. They've got it and they're keeping it. And you won't see it. They'll fight over it until everything has been handed out to lawyers.
Right.
Whether you want to fight or not. And then say it was for you, for your good.
Yes.
For the best interest. For the best interest of the ward,
of the
ward, or the best interest of the family. It's
right.
Just so much bullshit. I hate to say that,
yes.
But that's the way that I see it, you know.
Yeah. Well, ooh. And you know, and that's the thing too, and I think this is a perfect example of, you know, Yolanda, you going in with your family and saying, you know, we've resolved our issues and we don't need this anymore. And the fact that they would not relent, they would not, it's like getting a big giant tick on you. You can't get it off, you know. It just keeps sucking the blood out of you. And these are parasites. And this is how they make their living, is sucking the lifeblood out of other people. I'm always, as I've moved through this, Yolanda, been stunned at the number of predators of all kinds that are running loose. We talk about the trafficking of children, which is probably the most worst of all. But there is also the trafficking of the elderly and the disabled. And we're seeing the culling of these people as they're being intentionally murdered in hospice and in hospitals across the country to get rid of them. Because the federal government owes Social Security just a boatload of money. And but see, it's paying for everything. The idea that your father was able to amass an estate and to be so successful in coming here, it's almost, to me, to do this to your family who escaped communism, who escaped that life and came here believing the, like we all did, I'm of an age where, you know, when I left high school, I thought, oh, I was so lucky to be in this country. You know, I was so lucky to have been born here. I was so lucky we were a beacon to the world for freedom. And now you see this rise of this predator class. And it terrifies me to think that there are so many of these malignant narcissists, these sociopaths and psychopaths running loose out there. And what really, and something I put in my letter to Mr. Sessions was this keeping of personal possessions, where they rifle through the personal possessions of the person that they victimized, because now, of course, they present themselves as that person and they lay claim to everything. And they will keep certain items that never show up on the inventory. And I liken this to serial killers who keep trophies. It's the same mindset. It's the same mental process that causes them to do. They will take something of value, if not two or three somethings of value, and they never show up on the inventory. They denied they ever existed. And you know that they have a trophy box. They have something somewhere where they're keeping these symbols of what they did to this person, to this family. These are predators, plain and simple. They're predators.
So,
and if they,
so they're proud of what they're doing to people?
They're proud of what they're doing to people. And I stand by that statement. When you look at, like, the number you're talking about with this particular predator of people he has as supposed wards that he supposedly is doing it, and isn't that the sick joke? It's like black comedy, the sick part of this. On the surface, he's this do-gooder, this great person who's doing this. He's looking after these elderly people that otherwise would be lost without him. But the truth of the matter is he's robbing them blind. He's misusing and abusing them, torturing the family. And that's the other thing here too, Yolanda, which I think you can speak to, is the fact that this doesn't just affect the person that they target. It affects the whole family.
Family. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can hear it.
Everybody.
Hear it in your voice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It affects the whole family, and it leaves you feeling helpless, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I'm so stressed. I'm at the brink. I'm literally at the brink. I can't sleep. I mean, this just has totally consumed me.
Yes.
And no matter how hard I try, I just can't get anywhere.
Yeah. And the system is set up so that you can't get anywhere, but they keep you on this hamster wheel of running, 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 and going nowhere, knowing there is nowhere for you to go, that the door will be shut everywhere you go. And I am sick to death personally of state legislators who were elected to represent us saying, oh, I can't talk to you about that. I can't get into that because of separation of powers. And then you go to the judiciary and they will say, oh, I can't get into that. That's legislative. It's the legislature that dictates that. I can't get that separation of powers. And when actually in almost every state, it's an executive cabinet that is in operation. They're operating under what's called an umbrella agency like Health and Human Services. And they are contracted to the federal level. And under that contract that they have, they get funding. And this is where your block grants come in from Social Security. And X amount of dollars, I always cite, because I can remember it right off the top of my head, 2015 for Illinois, $43 million in a block grant from Social Security. $19 million of that money was earmarked for elder care and services. I can't find where one penny of it ever went to any such thing. That money goes straight into the state treasury, no strings attached. And so they're not going to stop that money coming in. And we have got to figure out how to sever those contracts and get this under control in the state. And to hell with what everybody else does. If you can keep the federal government out of it, you're doing good. Because money is always tied to that. And the minute you wave money under somebody's nose, I don't care how self-righteous they are. If they're in a political position, they've got an office or anything else, they're going to snatch the money and run into hell with you. I want to write your governor a letter, and I believe I will.
But you know what? You need to talk to her about the restaurant that her and her sister, well, her family has, that they are trying to close down.
Who's trying to close it down?
The administrator, Maraglio.
Why? Why?
He claims that there's so much debt in the estate that he has to sell it. But that's a lie. He doesn't have to sell it. We've been telling him from the very beginning, we don't want that restaurant sold, that building sold. He served my sister eviction papers last week. He gave her 10 days to get out.
Of your family restaurant?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What debts is it? What possible debts could you have that would warrant this?
He's never explained the debt. I mean, he just keeps saying on that, well, there's over $200,000 in debt. There's over $300,000. At one point, the estate was insolvent. I mean, I think he just wants to sell this building because he wants his fees. That's what it is.
Yes.
And he wants to make as much money as possible, and we're not going to get anything.
Right. Have you seen any of the billing from this attorney?
No, not one cent. He always says, and my fees. But I have never seen anything.
Okay. What we need to do, Luann, Robin, is do a search on this judge, then do a search on this this predator, and find how many other people we can find they've done this to, and show the racketeering, because this is racketeering. And how many? Yes. God bless it. Okay, Yolanda, how many kids are there involved here?
There's three girls.
Okay, and all of you've been involved in this family business, and
yes.
Yes, okay. And where is your father now?
My father passed away in December of 2013.
And they've still got this case open, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what's their excuse for that?
Well, I think, in my opinion, but of course he says it's because we're the ones who are fighting him. Yeah,
uh-huh.
I'm fighting because I want to save this estate. But
right.
he did nothing with the estate for almost a year. It was only
uh-huh.
until we motioned the court to have him removed
uh-huh.
that he became so aggressive. He
uh-huh.
went to the restaurant and he got a locksmith, didn't call, didn't make an appointment. He got a locksmith. My sister was in the back. The locksmith changed the lock on the front door. And when my sister came out, she saw them standing there, and she freaked out. She didn't know what was going on. She
yeah.
What are these people doing? I mean, she almost had a heart attack. And the guy was really nasty to her, Miranda. He told her that she was a squatter in her own...
business?
Yeah. Yes,
mm-hmm.
a squatter. That's what he said to her. Get out. And my sister said, I'm not going anywhere. This isn't right. And she was crying and everything. And then he threw the keys at her and said,
oh my God.
You can stay here until I sell the building.
Ah, there. That's what we're after there, yes. You know what I would do, Yolanda, if I was you? And, I mean, I truly would do this. You'd have to be me to understand how I... but I would put a big ad in the paper of exactly what's happening, that this restaurant that your family built and operated is under siege by this predator, and that he is attempting to sell property that does not belong to him from an estate that closed 5 years ago, and that anyone who is approached about buying this building needs to contact you. The thing it will do is put a big old damper on any potential sale, because nobody wants involved in anything like this. And that's exactly what... Now, you're not stating anything that is not true. You're not slandering or libeling anyone. You're stating a fact. Your father has been deceased 5 years. This estate was closed 5 years ago, and this man is attempting to sell a building that does not belong to him. And please contact whomever, you, your sisters, whomever, if anyone approaches you about purchasing this building. And that is exactly what I would do. And let him see how he likes that. And I wanted to let people know who are listening. If you want to call in, if you've got anything you want to ask Yolanda, anything you want to add into all of this, you can call in at any time, 917-388-4520, and press the number 1 immediately. That'll flag me that you want to come on. And again, the number is 917-388-4520. We've got a full phone board, so I know you're out there. And like I say, if you have any questions or comments, anything you'd like to add to this, please call in. I get upset. Go ahead.
Her story is real close to ours, Marty. We had exactly the same family member that was causing little issues. Our case went into probate. They sold 4 properties of ours that my parents worked for. But it's exact same techniques, exact everything. And the case is still going on. It's 8 years later, and it's still going on.
Oh, my God.
Eight years.
Well, then this mm-hmm. is it. And this is, I think, Luann, Yolanda, both of you, I think this is the clearest indicator, the largest piece of evidence that exists, that this is not about caring for the ward. This is not about their care and, you know, needs or anything. This is simply about how to steal the estate. Go ahead, Robin.
Yeah. I couldn't repress saying this is no public service. These people act like, oh, they're kind of public servant that's serving the common good and promoting the common welfare, because they're helping the people who have difficulty getting any help. And it's just so, oh, God, they pile it high and deep.
Yeah.
And it's infuriating to hear about
it. Yes,
it
is.
It really is.
Well, now they're coming up with these public guardian offices because, according to Massachusetts and their former Attorney General Harshbarger, there is a shortage of guardian and a plethora of people who need guardianship. They need to be cared for. Uh-huh. Of course they do. And so what you're seeing is they have worked their way through the population, and it is we have exposed so many of these cases where there was land and other property involved in what has happened to these people, like in Yolanda's case. They are moving now to like that predator up there in Detroit. They're doing it by volume. And you might think, well, there's no money in that. Well, yeah, there is. See, when somebody comes under guardianship, they take your Social Security check. They take, if you get VA or railroad retirement, they take that money. And so here recently, San Francisco talked about conserving the homeless because they needed protection. Conserving is of the finances, not the person. So if you look at the homeless people, sounds wonderful on that we're going to look after these poor homeless people. No, you're not. What you're going to do if they're not already signed up for Social Security or SSI, you're going to sign them up for it and make yourself the payee, but you're going to leave them on the street. And this is what that predator up in Detroit does. She collects these people who, they don't have big estates, but they get Social Security. They get VA retirement. A lot of them get, you know, other, they have pensions or annuities, whatever. And she takes all of it and gives them $44 a month. At last count, she had 1,700 and some wards. And nobody thinks now, take that times the average Social Security check, which is about $1,200 a month, times 1,700. That's a pretty damn good living to sit around as a parasite and live off of other people. But we're seeing this movement all over the country. I think what we're going to see, Yolanda, is like in cases like yours, there will be fewer of these high-profile cases that involve actual estates where there is money and property and business involved. And they're going to move to what they consider the ultimate in the waste population, and we are considered a waste population, human white trash. We are considered that. We are exposable, expendable, but they want to rob us first. And so they want your stuff first. And you know, does it ever, Robin Luann, if you would talk to this,
right?
Does it never occur to these people that what they have done to so many others can be done to them?
That's actually happening to one of the ladies out here now that is a, she's a guardian ad litem, and she was telling me that she had to finally put her father into a nursing home, and she said, that was one of the hardest things you ever had to do. And I said, no, think about that, how it is for a predator to come in there as a court official and tell you what to do with that parent. How would that make you feel? And she just looked at me just really strangely like, do that. No.
Yeah. Well, see, no. I still maintain that the one of the best defenses on this is to guardianize the predator because obviously they're a danger to the public.
Right.
And they're not in their right mind. Nobody in their right mind would do this for a living. These are like Hannibal Lecters of guardianship. Obviously, something is psychologically wrong. They need to be drugged.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got some, you know, predator disorder. They need to be drugged. They need to be chemically restrained so they don't harm other people. And I think the petitions for guardianship should be filed against every one of them. We need to take control of these people before they do more harm. We're doing a public service. We're trying to save the rest of the people.
I agree.
I totally
agree.
Yeah.
That would
you can't.
Really good.
Yes.
Yeah.
And So I think what we need to do is move to guardianize these people. These judges, then, they aren't real judges in probate. These are hearing examiners. They're calling them a judge is a euphemism. It doesn't meet the legal terminology, definition of a judge. A judge sits in a court of law. Administrative courts are not courts of law. They are artificially constructed statutes that exist to bypass your rights and protections. And this is why when you are declared a ward, you have suffered a statutory civil death. You basically, on paper, and as far as that administrative hearing examiner is concerned, have died. It is, and you're still living and breathing, but not according to them. That's just a minor, you know, just a technicality. They've declared you dead. Mm-hmm. And if Luann, Robin, Yolanda, anybody, can you explain to me how the living, breathing human being gets dragged into probate, which is supposed to become active only upon presentation of the death certificate, and then it's only to deal with whether there's a will or there isn't a will, and how is the estate disposed of? How is it this person gets dragged in there?
Yeah,
when did this happen?
That's what we've been wondering for a long time when we went into probate, is like, why wasn't this used to be how when somebody would die, they would do the will, do the trust, and do whatever
yep.
they had to do with the heirs, but that's not happening anymore. Once
no.
you end up in probate court for any reason at all, your estate's gone. It doesn't matter.
Yes.
But we were trying to figure out why that was going on also, and the times have changed so drastically from you know, 20 years ago.
Yes.
That, you know, I even asked, you know, the governors and all these people, legislators and everybody, why that is so, and not one of them could tell me the reason why. You know, they're like, well, times have changed. I'm like, no kidding, you know. But none of them could say why that has, and that's what I'd like to know, too. Because,
well,
you know, a lot of people, they create their trust wills to avoid probate.
Yes, yes.
And that brings you into that court, you know.
Well, and then, see, when you go into probate, and here's my other problem with this. If you're going to steal someone's identity, as in the case of Yolanda's father, this is exactly what happened. It was identity theft. This is the ultimate in identity theft. Court sanctioned. That predator standing over there now presents themselves as this statutorily dead person. And they get a testamentary of power that allows them to access all the assets. It now becomes their property because the court said, this is the name you can use. You can tell people you are this person. And they do this. This is exactly what they do. And the testamentary of power allows them to do that. Okay, here's my thing. What happens if the person is allowed to speak, which they seldom are? They come into that courtroom. What's the first thing that hearing examiner asks that attorney who is coming against that targeted victim? Have all the assets been marshaled? In other words, are you sure you got everything?
Right.
And then, you know, that's the first thing. And then the second thing is, have you been paid? What business is that of that person sitting up there calling himself a judge? It isn't. It's none of their business. And then to tell the party, you must hire an attorney. There's nothing in our Constitution that says that you have got to hire a member of this closed union, this racket that's operating, that has monopolized our court system. There's nothing that says you must do that to access the law. The law is accessible to everyone. Or it was. But now it isn't. Now it isn't. And then we have these saying that the law is what I say it is. You mention the Constitution one more time, I'll put you in jail. In this courtroom, you have no rights. Now, I don't think there can be a clearer statement that what we have operating here is a star chamber court. In other words, you were guilty for whatever before you ever went in. I asked a legislator here in Minnesota recently, Yolanda, why, if you're going to steal someone's identity, doesn't this happen in a civil court? Why is there not a jury present? And he just looked at me. I said, well, let me answer my own question for you. No crime has been committed, but that person targeted is being treated as if one has. There is no injured party. There is no damaged property. There is no crime. So therefore, you cannot get into civil or criminal court. So you created this fictional court system, if you can even call it that, these tribunals, to access that estate. And his face got all red. And he looked at me and he goes, he said, I find you thoroughly annoying. I said, well, I'm sure you do. And cool. Exactly. And I said, but I noticed you didn't say I was wrong. And this is the thing. I cannot tell you how this makes me feel to hear week after week, day after day, for hours a day, listening to these stories that are virtually identical to yours, Yolanda. The only thing that changes is, of course, the players. Yes. But what is being done, the destruction of the family, the disinheriting of the family, the ongoing torment and torture of the family as this happens. But,
yes.
Okay, hold on a second here. We've got a caller, area code 608. Did you have a question or comment for Yolanda or any of our other guests?
Yes, this is Kelly Brand.
Hi, Kelly.
I'm calling regarding, I'm having more issues with my son being abused under guardianship and just continuing. And when something happens and my son gets marks on him, I guess all they have to do is call the register and probate or whatever the hell and make a report that he got injuries. And it doesn't matter how he got the injuries. Then the police don't have the right to do anything about it or something, supposedly, I have heard. And I'm just wondering, because I heard my Wisconsin governor had, not that I'm happy with this guy, I think he's greedy, but anyhow, I think he just signed a bill that's called a supported decision-making bill. And what does that mean, you know, in regards to...
What that means, Kelly, is that rather than having you go through this system of probate or family court, whatever it is, people that are members of your family, your community, friends, whomever, each share in taking care of you. And they each do, each of them has a function and a service that they perform. All of them work together to take care of that person rather than this stranger coming in who has no interest other than how much money is attached to this victim. Now, nobody in shared decision making gets paid. And so, of course, the whole guardianship conservator community is up in arms. What do you mean nobody gets paid? Well, I'm not doing that for nothing. And of course, this also, one of their biggest objections to this is it highlights the fact that they are predators. You're going to do this because it's the right thing to do. You're going to help take care of this person. You're going to make sure that decisions made for them are the correct decisions. You're going to see to their needs and their care. It's going to be discussed as a group, and everybody's going to work together to take care of that person. And you're going to do it because it's the right thing to do. And the idea these people cannot grasp, see, that you wouldn't be doing this trying to get money for it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because this really outs them for the predators they are. So they're going to fight the hell out of this. Do you see what I'm saying? So,
The governor
this really
signed that bill not long ago.
No,
so I'm
let's
hoping,
hope it.
You know, that will mean that I can be my son's caregiver versus
And you need to find people that will help you with that caregiving so you can present as a group, you know, and they each have to have an interest, you know. In other words, I've known him since he was a kid. I'm his aunt. You know, I'm this, that, something else. But this is why I'm interested in this. Get his former doctor, you know, that took care of him, who's willing to oversee his medical care. You know, you set the whole thing up, set the whole system in place of people. Now, the doctor, of course, is going to get paid. They have to get paid. But that you have the whole system ready. You have medical care ready. You have home services ready. You have, you know, whatever this child needs in place, and you have these people helping you do it. That's shared decision-making. But nobody other than, like, a paid professional, like a doctor, gets paid. Mm-hmm. Nobody gets paid. It's all
volunteer.
So what if
he's been under corporate guardianship for 2 years? Is that going to just fall on the wayside then?
If you get shared decision-making or support services, that should dissolve. There is no need for it. And if you can make a comparison between the services you intend to provide as opposed to what this guardian has not only not provided but denied this boy, that should help. It should help,
yeah,
you know, if we lived in a sane world, you know, but we don't. Mm-hmm. And
police are telling me I had to be a witness to my son being abused in order to prove anything. So it's like, otherwise nothing can be done, no matter what, even if I have it on video recording that he stated who abused him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
His word counts for nothing.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Because he's a ward of the state.
And the dead can't speak.
There you go, Robin. He statutorily suffered a civil death. And the dead man can't talk. And so there you go. Okay. Well, thank you for calling in, Kelly. Appreciate it. And we'll be following up with you, too. And I'm sorry I'm running way behind, but I'm only one person out here.
I'm just glad I got to ask you the question about that.
Yes.
So I hope that kicks our probate guardianship stuff out of the picture then.
Yes.
So.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Keep us posted, too.
Yeah. Kelly has a picture of her son up there, a video of her son up there being abused.
Hold on.
And it's so sad to watch.
Wow. It just...
Yeah.
And then, you know, I think that's the worst part of it. Yolanda, getting back to you, when your father was under this guardianship and conserve, whatever it was, did you have access to him?
He was never in the guardianship.
How did they get access to his estate?
Through probate after he died.
He died. They came after it after he died. Jeez. It's like watching vultures pick the carcasses. And
there
what
you
was
go.
Your excuse for getting involved, Yolanda? I mean, I know there
was
a little argument, but so...
That's the excuse. The judge said he didn't want to hear any more of our bickering, and he was going to appoint an administrator.
An independent.
Neutral.
Oh.
Yes.
And he just happens to be my good friend, and we've done this to God knows how many people. And I'm on my way to buy my new Mercedes-Benz now. Okay, I think what we need to do here is we need to start gathering and compiling a database. And what that's going to entail is we need to find as many people as we can. And believe me, there's probably a ton of them out there who have been the victims of these two. And find out how much was actually siphoned off of estates after the fact. Even I can't imagine how much worse this would have been had your father been guardianized. I just can't even begin to get my mind around how horrendous this would have been had he been guardianized, considering what they have done to you since his death. And
didn't they sell one of the properties, Yolanda?
Yeah, they did sell one of the properties. It's an apartment building, and he sold it for $234,000, but the value of it is 700,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's
and it was,
how
I
much
bet it,
money we lost.
Well, and I bet it was sold to a friend of his.
It was, and it was an LLC. The guy formed the LLC 2 months before he ever bought it. There was no there was no bidding. There was no real estate broker involved, nothing. He handled everything himself, including notarizing the bill of sale or the deed.
Jesus. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And how did he sell? If your father had passed away already, how could he possibly have gotten a testamentary of power that allowed him to sell
the
that
court.
Property? The court.
The court.
Okay.
I mean, what would be the reason?
The court lets him do whatever he wants to.
Really?
I mean, what would be the reason to even sell that? I mean, it's not like they're paying a bunch of bills or anything. It's like, isn't the property supposed to be divided and given back to the family heirs? Isn't that how it's supposed to be?
How it's supposed to be? I haven't seen a penny of anything. He's been hoarding. I question if he even sold that apartment building. If he didn't somehow keep it. You know, but
he might be part of this LLC you talked about that was formed. Did you ever look into that?
I did look, but I can't find any connections. I've spent nights upon nights looking online and trying to find this and trying to find it. It's so difficult.
Go to the Secretary of State's office in your state. It has to be registered there and find out.
You can get them online. You can get them online, then you find the agent and all. See, but I can't find Miraglio connected to Karis, which is the person who bought the apartment building.
Okay. And see, I would send him a letter and ask him who he, when he transferred the funds for this building, who were those funds paid to? Because you never received any of them. And you were the receiver on that, you and your sisters. And ask him who exactly he issued that check to and when. And what was the amount?
Well, that's the funny thing is we wanted to have a hearing about Miraglio, you know, if he should be doing, if he should maintain to be the administrator. And we issued a subpoena to the person who bought the apartment building, and he never showed up. The person who appraised the apartment for the court, we subpoenaed them. They never showed up. And they never cited.
Excuse me. That's what I was going to say. You get a subpoena, you damn well better be there.
No, they never
showed up. They never showed up. And the court's response was, so what, huh?
Yeah, so what? There's no merit to your case.
Oh, I see. Yeah, maybe what we need to do is start a nationwide petition to have this judge removed from the bench. Obviously, there's racketeering.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
Oh, he knows exactly what he's doing. If you've ever seen a bench guide for these guys, it's put out by the College of Probate Judges and National Guardianship Association. They basically can do anything they want. Read the statutes. They are constrained by nothing because they don't have to follow the law. What they do has nothing to do with the law. And people confuse administrative statute with the common law or civil or criminal law. And it is none of those things. These are arbitrary, fictional constructs that are used to violate your rights and make sure you don't have any. And they are not, they don't have to follow codes, the rules of evidence, as you would in a court of law, the civil code of procedure. They don't have to follow that. They don't have to do anything. And we have these people sitting on the bench telling people, the law is what I say it is, which is a misstatement because they are not dealing with law. They're dealing with statute, regulation, and rules. These are not laws. These are artificial constructs to take your rights. Go ahead, Luann.
So Marty, in Colorado, I'm not sure. I know there's 35 other states that have the merit system where you can vote these judges out.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been doing campaigns lately in Colorado. Well, we're going to be having a voting session again this November, and there's like four judges that are really bad. There's some up in Boulder, Colorado, that we're actually going to go speak at the Judicial Performance Commissioners meeting tomorrow, and there's going to be all kinds of newscasters up there. And
oh,
we're going to
wow.
go up there
okay.
and tell them exactly what we think of the Judicial Performance Commissioners, how they're not doing their job. But
right.
we're also going to be going up there a couple of days a week until it's voting time to tell all these voters to vote these judges out. That's what
right.
we're doing here. You know,
well,
and when
they,
in doubt, vote them out. But I'm not sure
yes.
if in Ohio, can you vote them out, do you know?
Yes. Yes.
Yep,
there you go.
You can vote them out.
Well,
I don't think
problem,
he's up for re-election until 2020.
Well, the thing
yeah.
on it is, though, it, like here in Minnesota, on our ballots, every time we vote, there are openings like civil court judges, criminal court judges, you know, probate, the whole nine yards. And here are one or two names in each of those sections. And you have to vote for one of those two people. Underneath each section is it says other. Now, what I do is I write my name in. And well, I do. And so like I say here, a couple years ago, I got three votes. I want to know who those other two people were. But anyway, don't vote for the... I would mark no confidence, and we need a no confidence option on these ballots. These are people that have the job. They've been tapped. They got the job, whether you vote for them or you don't. And this is a sham in voting because people think they are electing these people or preventing them from being elected when nothing could be further from the truth. If they don't get position A, they get position B. And they're already tapped, hired, and in place when that election takes place. The other thing is, these people don't have to campaign. You don't know anything about their record. You don't know anything about what they've done in the court. And this is, like you've seen, I don't know, Yolanda, if you've seen this online, there's places where, like Robe Probe and things like that, you can report judges for wrongdoing and all of this stuff. Or they'll have a page, let's go back to that predator that runs up there in Detroit. Thousands of complaints against her and on the page, and yet she is highly rated by the Guardianship Association. And every time somebody posts this is what this woman did to us, this is what she did to our family member, and blah, 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 it gets wiped off there. So we need to be establishing our own database. With documentation, you cannot just come and make claims and without supporting documentation. But we have got to start assembling a database so we can show this clear pattern across the country of racketeering. Mm-hmm. And this is a racket that is running, and it is ramping up. And because they are needing to get rid of so many of us boomers, they are wanting to get rid of us. Luann Robin here, we had
Marty's still there?
Dial back in. I wonder if they're off the air or if just us are off the air. Well.
Hello.
Hello. No. Hello.
You still up?
Hello?
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 No, it's Boulder. This is Boulder. Hello?
Boulder.
Not no Marty Boulder.
Oh.
We're trying.
Boulder and Q.
Boulder and Q. Is this Marilyn?
Yeah, Dash, Boulder and Q.
Something happened to the show. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, so tell us what's going on. We understand there's some kind of hearing tomorrow in Boulder at 5:30. What is this?
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow up in Boulder.
What is it?
Tell me. And what time is it and where is it?
And judicial performance committee meeting. Huh?
And location, time?
Up in Boulder County.
Location? Yes. Yes.
Are we on with Marty?
Yeah, I'm calling in on my cell phone. We got a jamming signal. I got knocked out. Okay, so I'm on my cell phone. You guys are still live, but I am out of business on there. But we're still on the air, so thank you for keeping this rolling.
I had to call back into the show, too.
Did you hear that signal come through?
The phone just went dead. Wow.
Yeah, we didn't hear the signal. Sure heard the lack of anything all of a sudden.
Yep.
Right. Wow.
So I'm on myself, and we'll finish this up on here. Yolanda, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Good, everybody. Thank you for hanging in there. and then we got area code 303. You're live and on the air?
That would be us.
Yeah. That would be you.
Yes.
Okay. And then, I think we've got everybody. All right. So we're just going to keep rolling here, whether they like it or they don't. We've got, I've got three different 303s on here.
I wanted to say something, Marty. Tomorrow, you know, like I was talking to Yolanda that you can vote your judges out. Tomorrow up in Boulder County, it's in Denver, it's in Colorado, and the commissions are having a public hearing on May 15th from 5:30 to 6:30 in Courtroom F at the Boulder County Justice Center. And that's 1777 6th Street, Boulder, Colorado, 80302, to take the input on four judges. And the evaluations is one is Thomas Mulvihill and Norma Sierra and county court judges David Archuleta and Elizabeth Brodsky. We've had complaints on every one of those judges, so now if anybody's from Colorado, please try to get to Boulder to the Judicial Performance meeting. And you can do a speech there in front of the Judicial Performance Commissioners and tell them what you think of these judges, that they should not be retained. You know,
Luann, why don't you write up a public service announcement on that, and we'll publish it and shoot it across the net and see if we can't get as many people there as possible. The idea that these people, like I say, get tapped for these jobs and after all these years, I understand that these jobs they pay to play. In other words, they've either done favors for or they're paying cash money for to get these appointments. And you are voting for no one. They've already got the job. And this is all to assuage the public and make you think that you voted this person in office that you know absolutely nothing about. They should be forced to campaign. Their records should be exposed, how they have voted, what they have done to people in their courtrooms, how these cases came out, who did they allow, like in the case of prosecutors, are now allowed to lie. My contention is, if you have to lie and fabricate evidence, you don't have a case.
Right.
And, judges somehow declared themselves immune from prosecution. I'm sorry. There's nothing in the Constitution that says anyone has immunity from prosecution. The law is the law. And so we have to get back to this. But like I say, write up something about this. Let's get this out there and really put pressure on them to make these people show their record. Allow people the right to speak about what has happened to them in these courtrooms. And this is the only way I can see, if you got other ideas, I want to hear them, that we're going to get this stopped. Yolanda, there in Ohio, have you been in contact with Brian Kinster at all at Judicial Accountability Movement?
I don't think so.
Okay, I'll see if I can get you over there. He's working hard out there.
Right.
And that
I just got an email. I just got an email. They wanted to know if the radio show was shut down because they can't hear anybody. But they also wanted me to tell everybody that they feel really bad for Yolanda, and because it's like immigrants' parents that work so hard, and the guardianship has liquidated everything. So we're starting to get emails about this case coming into our show too.
Right now I'm trying to keep the board up. Maybe we should. We've got about 15 minutes left here. Go ahead and close this down because I don't even know if this is recording. Well, it says stream this, so apparently we are.
Right.
It should be on the archive. You should be able to hear the show on the archive. Okay, Yolanda, what is up next for you? What is your next plan of action?
Well, I have to stop him from evicting my sister out of the restaurant. I was thinking about maybe filing a lawsuit against the administrator and the law firm he works for. Maybe that would stop things. But the court systems.
That's only going to cost you money, and it's they're not going to let you get anywhere. I would go back to the suggestion. I would put up an ad. I would put up flyers that if this building is being offered to you for sale, the person selling it does not own it. And that's the way I would go after that. And then get this out there. Get call the media and tell them this man
I've
is
tried.
Attempting.
I've tried. Nobody gets back to
there?
Me.
Who's your media there? What
I tried the local stations, WEWS, WKYC, there's WJKW. I mean, I tried all the local stations.
Well,
nobody even contacts me back. And I tried the local paper, Cleveland Plain Dealer. They never call me back.
Okay, the Cleveland Plain Viewer?
Dealer, yeah.
Okay.
She needs to get with Brian Kinter too because he's a huge advocate out there.
Yes. Yes.
Is it Kelly something? Her name is out there. Yeah, she's really pretty big out there too.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get you in touch with Brian and see what he can do to help you out here. And I don't know any attorney that knows more than Brian does about the law. I truly don't. And which is one reason they hate him.
it's really good.
But we need to get you in touch with Brian and the judicial accountability.
Brian, I'll send her the information to Brian.
You what?
I'll send her the information to Brian.
Okay. And we'll keep an eye on this. Yolanda, how are your sisters doing?
We're all. My sister, the administrator, he wouldn't even give her the tags to the car that she bought, but it was in my father's name because the insurance was cheaper. She finished paying for the car, and he refused to give her the tags for the car. So she has no vehicle. She was walking. She fell. She broke her foot. My other sister has eyesight problems from the stress. I found out that I have heart valve problems. I'm going to need surgery for that. And this is all due to what he's been doing to us.
The stress.
It's killing us. It really is killing us. I mean, I feel like I let my father down. And
I'm so
disappointed.
No, your property was robbed from you. You didn't let anybody down.
No,
your
don't
property,
blame you.
We did that for a long time, Marty, in our family. We blamed each other. We did this, we did that. We were robbed, okay?
Yeah.
There's no reason for you to feel bad about that at all. The thing you need to do is just get more active, and we'll hook you up with Brian, and we'll see if Marty and I can come up with our heads together and figure out what we can do about this. Maybe I'll call this attorney like we did with the other Yolanda. Remember?
Yes. And this is me crazy. don't be feeling like you let your father down. You've mounted a tremendous fight against people against whom you had no chance, because the system is rigged. It's rigged against you. It is a no-win situation. It exists for two reasons: to rob the estate and, by extension, you. And the harder you fight, the more money it costs you. And, of course, your father's estate is paying for everything that predator does. Everything.
Yes.
Everything. And you're paying for all of it. The family will continue to pay till you're all broke. Then they will leave you alone.
Maybe.
In one very high-profile case, after they had caused the death of the individual, the attorney called the wife, the new widow, and said, "You can come pick him up now." You know, this is how down and dirty this gets. This is how rotten this gets. And don't think for one minute your legislator, your governor, your attorney general, the federal government, the Department of Justice, do not think for one minute these people don't know exactly what's going on, how it's being done, and what is being done to families across this country. They know. They are absolutely refusing to do anything about it. They are refusing to acknowledge that this is happening, because they're all making money off it. And it might be indirectly, but they're making money off it. And the reason the Fed won't do anything is because this is causing a reduction in the number of elderly people who are living that might make a claim against Social Security. This whole system is set up so that you cannot win. The law makes no difference. The facts actually are makes no difference. You're up against a criminal racket that is sanctioned by the government. And so don't think you're out there alone, because there's thousands of you out there. There's thousands of you. And one way or another, we're going to stop this. We're going to stop it. Robin, Luann, did you have anything you wanted to add in here?
I do want to say something about the idea, you know, when this happens to you, like Yolanda, many people think, "Oh my God, I let my father down. I let my family down. I didn't defend my family from this attack. I am somehow responsible." You are no more responsible for this than if you're walking in the park one day and somebody comes up behind you and bashes you in the head and robs you. You are not responsible for the actions of these predators. They are responsible for that. And
yes,
I believe that when these things come to us, that it is, it's, I think one of the things that happens is it's a testing of our own ability to survive and thrive under duress. And it's, you know, speaking from the standpoint of just as far as how you can turn it to good, don't ever condemn yourself, but recognize that these predators, and condemn their actions. Recognize what they're doing, you know, and condemn their actions loudly and clearly, stating in loud, clear tones, these are crimes and these are criminals. And the fact that they are covering themselves under color of law so that they don't get prosecuted for their crimes is another crime that they should ultimately get prosecuted for, if we can ever get a legal system that works.
Yes. And I think, Robin, that's the key to the whole thing, a legal system that actually works.
Right.
Like, when you've got prosecutors who can fabricate evidence and lie, and that's okay, you can't hold them responsible. When you've got judges who can hand down decisions because that they know are unconstitutional or unlawful, but you can't hold them responsible, because if they couldn't do that, they might be afraid to hand down certain decisions. Well, the only time I figure you'd be afraid to is if you knew, and they do know, that they're violating the law, the Constitution, and that's the only thing they would be fearful of, which is a prosecutable act. We have allowed these people to declare themselves immune. They have no such immunity. We have to reject that. We have to reject that publicly, that you do not have this immunity. You are supposed to be the utmost expert on the law sitting in that room. You can, if I cannot go into that courtroom and claim ignorance of the law on any level as a defense, how in the hell can a judge do that? He's supposed to know a trillion times more than I do. You're supposed to be the expert. I'm sorry, I can't allow you to make a mistake. I can't allow you to misspeak. I can't allow you to declare yourself immune for handing down a decision that you know violates the law, violated my rights, and went against the Republic. And this is something else I want to talk briefly to here before we close out. We are not supposed to have a democracy. We are supposed to have a republic. The difference is democracy is what they call mob rule. The more of you there are with power, that you dictate things. Under a republic, you have a representative form of government, which is why they keep hollering democracy, democracy, democracy. No, republic, republic, republic. You were hired to represent me, not the corporations, not your good buddies, me. And so until we get back to the republic sort of thinking, we're going to continue to encounter these problems. But I think ultimately we have reached the point where we need across the board in every state to demand the end of these probate tribunals. They are tribunals. They are openly referenced as tribunals in any of the ADA writings and all of that. They are tribunals. They are not constrained by the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, or the law. They create their own system, and they do whatever they want to do. And Yolanda, your family is a perfect example of they can do whatever they want to do, and nothing applies to them. You can't touch them.
Right.
So we've got just a few minutes here. Anybody closing statements?
Yolanda, hang in there. We've all been through this. And the best thing you can do is try to find other families in your neighborhood. We're up to 50 families out here in Colorado. And we go to all the Judicial Performance Commission's meetings. We do all that. But you just stay loud. And like Marty said, try to get, an ad in the paper or put another sign up like you did in front of that property that they want to sell that restaurant and start making a big deal out of it. Make sure nobody buys that property. I would do that.
Yes.
That's a good idea.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, put a big sign in the window that this person...
Put a big sign in the window and say, this property is not up for sale, and if anybody tries to sell it, they do not have my permission.
Right. And they do not have title to the property and have no interest in it. And go that way. Put a big sign right up in the window. And... try to fend them off that way. That will at least slow things down. And
right.
Now,
she has
should
a sign up already, Marty. She has a big sign up where the other property was. That's what caught the attention of us to find her on Facebook of what she did. So that was really good.
Excellent. Excellent. Do it again, Yolanda. Do it again.
I will.
Okay. And we're going to be keeping in touch with
you.
You
do it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And,
we want to make a big deal on the Internet, too, because we want to blow this up as big as we can. So be sure we know, post that, and post it on the net so we can repost it.
Right.
Okay. You got that?
Yeah.
You want me to repost?
Yes.
Repost?
Just keep up praise what you're doing so that if you post something online, we'll be able to repost it and give it a larger audience.
There you go. And the other thing we can do there too, Robin, is when she does that, let's go over to her state representatives' websites and Facebook pages and post it on there. Why haven't you done something about this?
Yep, there you go.
Start putting it right up there in public and on their pages, because they depend on those pages for free advertising and everything else. Well, here's some advertising for you. look what's happening to people in your district. How come you haven't moved to stop this? And, you know, make it a campaign issue. We've got just a couple minutes here. I want to thank everyone for this evening, and I'm sorry about the loss of audio there for a few minutes. For those of you, and we, like I say, we've got a full phone board here that got to listen to the whole show. The show will be available in archive. We're still streaming, it says, and which means the show is being recorded. So it will be available in archive, and I'll check it later this evening when it fully downloads to make sure it is all still there. Yolanda will be wanting to have you back on. We'll be checking with you as you move through this, okay? And but don't think you're out there alone, because you aren't.
No.
Well, thank you. Thank you for all the support. It really means a lot to me and my family.
Well, you have our support. You truly do.
I think we'll try to get her on the Brian Kinter show, too.
Yes. Yep.
Yes. They got a large audience out there, okay?
Yes. And Portal to Justice also with Amelia Duran. Yeah. We can get this. Get you on other shows, and then I have contact with the major network. I'm going to forward your story to them, to my contact there, and see if I can't get you as a guest on one of those great big giant shows, because they go global, and we'll see if we can't get it out there that way. But I'll do everything I can, as I know Robin and Luann will, and we will be watching you closely. Stay in touch. Let us know what's happening, and we'll help you promote whatever you need promoted, okay?
Right. We'll do a call to action, too.
There you go.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You met. Everybody, thanks for tuning in this evening. Again, I'm sorry about all the audio problems, although I'm not surprised. This happens every time we hit on something big. For those listening in as lurkers trying to find out what we're talking about, don't be afraid. Call us. Talk to us. We'll be nice, maybe. And,
hopefully.
You know, and like I always say sometimes, you can't always choose who comes into your life, but you can damn sure pick which window you throw them out of. With that, everybody have a good evening, and we will be back next week. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.